Nora Davis has built her life around control and distance. A respected pediatric surgeon at Stanford Medical Center, she lives in a modest house with security cameras at every entrance, drives a sensible Toyota Camry, and keeps all relationships strictly professional. No one at work has ever been invited to her home. No one knows her real name was once Nora Nearling, daughter of the infamous handyman serial killer who murdered at least 30 women across 3 states, removing their hands as his signature. For 26 years, she's received weekly letters from her imprisoned father. And for 26 years, she's torn each one into pieces without reading it, watching the fragments scatter into her garden's koi pond. What would it be like to carry such a terrible legacy? To wonder if the capacity for evil runs in your blood? Nora's carefully constructed existence is her answer, a life defined by avoidance, routine, and the desperate hope that no one will ever discover who she really is. When headlights follow Nora home one night, something primal awakens. Instead of calling police, she leads her pursuer down a winding road in pouring rain, causing them to crash. Though a doctor sworn to help others, Nora merely calls 911 and drives away, reflecting on her father's dangerous nature and how the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Flashbacks reveal disturbing parallels. 11-year-old Nora receiving a white mouse from her father despite her mother's concerns about previous pets. The always locked basement door reeking of lavender. Most chillingly, young Nora's calculated fixation on unpopular classmate Marjorie Baker, stalking her, watching through windows, documenting her routines in a small blue notebook, mirroring her father's victim selection methods. In one unsettling memory, Nora convinced Marjorie to play hunter and prey in dense woods, making her remove her shoes before giving her a head start. As Marjorie struggled barefoot over rough terrain, Nora felt powerful, knowing catching her would be pathetically easy, reaching for the razor-sharp penknife, a birthday gift from her father given with a knowing smile. Surgery offers Nora both redemption and temptation. Her once trembling hands now move with precision through complex procedures, giving her complete control over vulnerable bodies, a power dynamic she recognizes. In the operating room, she decides where to cut, how deep to go, when to stop. Her competitive relationship with surgical partner Philip Corey showcases her intensity. They maintain meticulous spreadsheets tracking cases and outcomes, with Nora intending to crush Philip this year. This drive provides a socially acceptable channel for darker impulses, allowing her to cut into human bodies with purpose, a sanctioned form of her father's violence. When Nora spots signs of domestic abuse in Mrs. Kellogg during her husband's examination, she discreetly offers help. Despite the woman's denial, Nora deliberately makes the removal of Mr. Kellogg's last staple painful, twisting slightly as she pulls. A small act of retribution, revealing how easily she justifies causing pain when she believes it's deserved. Nora's carefully constructed life unravels when Detective Ed Barber questions her about a murdered patient, Amber Swanson, found with both hands surgically removed, her father's unmistakable signature. A week later, another patient, Shelby Gillis, is discovered murdered identically. The pattern becomes undeniable. Someone is targeting women matching her father's preferred victims, young, dark-haired women with blue eyes, all connected to Nora's practice. The confrontation with Amber's mother becomes a turning point. She storms into Nora's office, grief-stricken and furious. "I know who you are, Nora Nearling," she spits, wielding Nora's true identity like a weapon. Her threat to expose Nora isn't just revenge, it's about destroying the facade Nora has built over 15 years. Despite Nora's pleas, Mrs. Swanson remains unmoved. "Well, good, because that's what you deserve, you monster." These pressures force Nora to confront her deepest fears, that she carries her father's darkness within. Every mirror now seems to pose a disturbing question. Is she seeing herself or glimpses of Aaron Nearling's legacy? Despite her grandmother's warnings about the devil, Nora visits her father at Oregon State Penitentiary. Instead of the imposing figure from her childhood, she finds a gray-haired, hunched old man in shackles, though his dark eyes, identical to hers, still possess the same intensity. When she demands to know who killed the girls, he shockingly responds, "It was you." He mentions dead animals her mother found when Nora was young and suggests she became a surgeon because she enjoys cutting into people. The visit triggers a crucial flashback. As a child, Nora discovered her father's basement wasn't just for woodworking. Finding the usually locked door open, she entered to discover disturbing items: a razor-sharp knife, bleach, and lavender air freshener. The bench had brownish stains, and in a corner sat a sheet-covered cage with a human eye peering out. Most chillingly, her father had deliberately left the door unlocked, wanting her to discover his secret and telling young Nora she was like him. As evidence mounts against Nora, including a severed hand in her car trunk, she grows suspicious of everyone. The truth emerges when she finds Philip tied in her basement with his hand severed, and her receptionist, Harper, standing before her with a gun. Drugged from Harper's soup, Nora learns the shocking revelation. Harper is her half-sister. Their mother was pregnant when Nora reported their father to police and later committed suicide in prison, though Harper survived. While Nora lived with their grandmother, Harper was adopted. Years later, Harper visited their father in prison, who turned her against Nora. Harper's revenge plot becomes clear. She's framing Nora as a murderer who followed their father's path by creating a basement dungeon and staging the killings. In a desperate struggle, Nora manages to attack Harper before Brady, her college boyfriend turned bartender, arrives unexpectedly. The final twist suggests Nora's innocence is questionable. Harper witnessed her helping Mrs. Kellogg poison her abusive husband with calcium gluconate, making his death appear natural. 1 year after Harper's double life sentence, Nora and Brady are building a life together. Their relationship progressed gradually. After 3 months, Nora finally met Brady's daughter, Ruby, discovering she actually doesn't hate kids. The stray cat that saved her life has become family. At a farmer's market, Nora spots Marjorie, the woman she spared in the woods during her darkest hour. Marjorie's failure to recognize her brings profound relief, proof she's shed her former identity. This resolution suggests redemption comes through conscious choice. Nora has dismantled her emotional walls, forming genuine connections and trusting that genetics aren't destiny. Sharing DNA with a monster doesn't condemn her to become one. Yet ambiguities remain. Whether Nora assisted Mrs. Kellogg in her husband's death is never fully resolved. Has she truly broken free from her father's influence or merely refined her darker impulses? Can we ever escape our origins? Perhaps the answer lies in the daily choice to face our darkest impulses and repeatedly decide not to surrender to them.